Delightful.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos. How are you today? It's 6 minutes past the hour. It's Tuesday. Welcome back to work. Some of us didn't take any break. I mean, you guys were on break yesterday. You had fun. You went out with family and friends. I was here. I was working. And nobody even cared to say, hi, Sheriff, take this and just manage this for the holiday. We know you're working. I'm not upset. I'm okay. I'm good. But I'll show you. I'll do my own much later on. Welcome. Today we're doing because today is World Blood Donor Day, so we're going to focus on that conversation. Like I said, at 5 a.m., it's a very, very important conversation that we don't have much about, really. And we should talk about it, you know, some more. You can watch right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right, Nigeria Info 99.3, if you like to watch online. You can also listen to us via our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm. We have a chat room on the website where you can also interact with us. We take comments from the website directly. Just scroll down, you see the chat room, and drop your thoughts right there in the chat room. Feel free to also tell people to tune in right now, especially all blood donors out there. We celebrate you today. It's your day, so we're not going to deny you the joy of being celebrated. You should know that WHO has revealed that Nigeria needs an average of 1.8 million pints of blood annually. 1.8 million pints of blood annually. But you know how much we're told by the authority that we actually get? 500,000. That's even if this hasn't dropped, because this report was 2021. Now, how can Nigeria improve on providing safe and secure blood to the people? Because every 2 seconds, someone out there needs a blood. Every 2 seconds. Well, again, World Health Organization, Nigerian Medical Association, NMA, and the National Association of Resident Doctors, the three have warned that 95% of donor blood units used yearly in Nigeria, as a matter of fact, are unsafe. Imagine collecting 500,000 pints of blood and 95% of this blood is unsafe. What do you think is the fate of people? Let me even make a call out there, right? If you've been in a situation before where you needed blood or a relative needed blood, I would really, really love you to call in much later on the show to share your experience. I would really, really love that. But let me bring in my guest at this juncture. I have joining us right now our friends at Total Health Trust, Dr. Oluwatimilenyi Ogunkoya. Is here in the studio with us to discuss World Blood Donor Day. Dr. Timilani, good morning to you.
Hi, Sheriff. Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. What was your night? You were on holiday too, Abby. Why are you laughing? All right, let's talk. World Blood Donor Day. Talking about blood donation, where are we? Is it really that bad as my intro made it sound?
So first of all, I'd like to say a huge thank you. Thank you so much for having us. Delighted to be here and to help to facilitate these conversations that we'll be having. Yeah. Quite importantly, without necessarily sounding like an alarmist about exactly where we are when it comes to blood donation, it's to go by the data. Allow me to tweak a little of what you had mentioned earlier.
Please do.
Is that the way the World Health Organization has structured what we should be doing is that we should have 10 to 20 people donating blood per 1,000 population. Oh. If we look at that statistically and put it into proper context, that means that as a nation, we need somewhere between 2 to 4 million actually.
Every year?
Yeah, every year. So it's even a little higher than the 1.8 million referred to earlier as well. So that's what we really need, is that we should be getting 10 to 20 people donating per 1,000 population. Now, if you look at it as well, from a statistical standpoint as well, the highest that you have in terms of nations reaching this number, you have countries such as Germany and Greece recording about 57.8 per 1,000 population. Let me allow you guess where we are as a country. What number?
Please don't stab me. tell us, where are we as a country?
Quite sadly, Nigeria has less than 1 per 1,000 population. We have 0.76 per 1,000 population when it comes to blood donation. So we haven't even reached one, where other countries are recording 30-something, 40-something, 50-something per 1,000 population. So it's a far cry.
What's responsible for this? Because this is quite troubling. What's responsible for it? What could be possible causes?
So for starters, it has to be very clear that it starts with you and I. It means that as individuals, we need to be aware that donating blood is one of the things that we can do as human beings to actually save lives. It's not only something that should happen when an emergency comes up, because pretty much that's our approach to blood donation. It's that, oh, someone's relative needs blood, or an individual is in dire need of blood, and then we're sending messages out, putting out different messages on different platforms, trying to gather as many people as possible.
Yeah.
But that's not really where we should be. As individuals, we should be able to create a culture that altruistic, that selflessness, that, I as a person can donate blood. And that pretty much is what the World Blood Donor Day is about.
Yeah.
It's about promoting this and ensuring that we all understand that this is a dire need that we have, and we all can do that together in terms of moving the needle in the right direction.
So awareness is pretty low amongst the populace. That's one of the major causes, right? Now, let me talk to you some more about, because I'm really interested in knowing what could drive people to want to go and donate blood, or what could stop people to want to go and donate blood. So number one is awareness. What's the role of religion in blood donation?
So quite interestingly, thank you for asking as well, because it's a fantastic perspective to the conversation that we're having. The other thing is, I always like to say that the starting point in even pushing forward awareness is getting individuals access to adequate and accurate information. So people have to be not just informed, but well informed.
Exactly.
And quite sadly, there are different factors that play into the role of misinformation and misconceptions about blood donation and all of that. And so you might even find in some climes and in some sects wherein there is a huge misconception about donating blood and all of those sort of things, which sort of is prevalent in either different sects or from a religious perspective, and things such as, you shouldn't take even donated blood and things along that line. But the important thing is to get us back to the point wherein every single person can and should donate blood, actually, as much as we possibly can as well.
I want to talk to you about our own issues, because it's one thing for someone to donate blood. It's another thing for us, a facility to keep, you know, that blood viable. And I've read in some quarters that we don't have as much facilities as we would have loved to, in terms of storing, as in blood banks, for instance. How bad is the situation when we talk about blood banks?
Really, really interesting perspective, actually, because you're quite spot on in terms of, it's one thing to collect the blood. It's another thing to keep the blood. But to also put that in the best way possible, we should also understand that blood has a shelf life. So it means that I might even collect blood, but it's not going to be there forever. Even with the very best of storage facilities, it has a shelf life of about 42 days, which is about 6 to 7 weeks thereabouts. And so it means that if the blood hasn't been utilized within that time frame, it then is no longer usable in that sense due to the anticoagulants and all of that used to preserve it. So it means that even if, for example, on a day like this, we're able to collect a million pints of blood, let me use that audacious number,
right,
we're going to need more along the line. So it's not just about collecting blood. It's also about storing it and understanding that that storage has a shelf life. And that's why everyone is advised that this idea, this noble idea of donating blood isn't a one-time thing. Because many times when the world...
So it's not a one-time thing. It's not, I've donated, I've done my part, and you walk away.
Exactly. That's not the approach to have to it. Because many times a lot of sensitization occurs on a day like this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation about it. But we need to understand that it's an ongoing conversation. It's not just, donate blood and walk away. It's that every single person can donate blood every 3 to 4 months.
And every 3 to 4 months.
Every 3 to 4 months. Okay. So it's a habit worth cultivating. It's something that we should imbibe and push. Because like I said earlier, if we're at 0.76 and some other countries are 50-something, then it's a
The disparity is unbelievable. It's too wide. But earlier we were talking about the causes of this. I've heard some people, the last time we had this conversation, Dr. Similayin, someone called in and he told the entire world that, look, I wanted to go and donate, but I was even asked to pay to donate blood. And he just turned back.
So quite sadly, we know that the system perhaps isn't as effective as it should be, but such an aberration is not the norm.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, there are a number of facilities that actually allow you to walk in and donate blood voluntarily, because we need to understand that it's not just even enough to donate blood, it has to be voluntary.
But according to this individual, this happened in a public facility, a tertiary public facility, as a matter of fact.
It's definitely something worth looking into as to what happened. But the vast majority of individuals who walk into these facilities can actually donate blood without necessarily
being tasked as to what to pay. Yeah. Is there an age to blood donation? Can an older person or a younger person, what's the age range like?
All right, which is a really good place to start, because a very valid question on the mind of anyone listening is, so who can donate blood? Just anybody walk in to donate blood? So from the age perspective, which is one of the very first criteria to look at, individuals between the ages of 18 and 65 can donate blood.
Okay.
However, first-time donors should be between the ages of 18 and 60.
First-time donors should
be between the ages of 18 and 60. But if you've donated before, you can go as high as 65, but the age band usually is between the ages of 18 and the age of 65.
What are other areas for blood donors, potential blood donors? Who else can donate? Can a pregnant woman donate? Can a sick person donate? I mean, who are those that can donate? And who are those that can't donate?
Great, great question. As a matter of fact, if we hadn't touched on that, we would not be forgiven. Well, thank you so much for asking. So there are two other things I must quickly add to the age criterion.
Right.
Is that age is number one, 18 to 65. The second thing is the weight of the individual. So you should be at least 50 kg for you to donate blood.
At least
50 kg. Some embers push it as far as 45 thereabout, but the gold standard is at about 50 kg basically. The third thing is that your hemoglobin level. So for a woman, that's about 12.5. For a man, that's about 13 grams per deciliters. But that's technicalities that will be checked out at the facility. But the first thing is, am I within the ages of 18 and 65?
Yeah.
And I should walk into the facility, and all of the things that are needed would then be done. And that brings us to the other criterion, which are deferral criteria. I always like to say that it's not a hammer down, or you cannot donate blood. It's a deferral, meaning that you cannot donate blood at this time.
At this time.
Because if we don't put it in that perspective, it creates also a misconception. And I'll tell you why I said so. So if a woman is pregnant, if she's breastfeeding or if she's having a heavy menstrual flow, she cannot donate blood at that time.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, that criterion has also created a misconception.
Oh.
So some people often say that, women cannot donate blood, which is absolutely wrong. And what had created that is a lack of understanding of the criterion that I just mentioned, which is if a woman is pregnant, if she's lactating, which is if she's breastfeeding, or if she is having a heavy menstrual flow during that period of time, it's advised that she defers the donation till much later when she's not in that particular bracket. And so it's a deferral, meaning you cannot donate blood at this time, but please, by all means, you can then come back to then donate blood. So that pretty much are some of the things to consider. When also sometimes if an individual has had a tooth extraction, that's also considered.
Okay.
And there are also a number of other factors as well that are also brought. Because when you walk into a blood donation facility, after you had walked in, indicated that you want to donate blood, you have a form to fill, which basically just walks you through some of these factors and criteria, which actually helps to highlight, these are the things that, you know, we're looking at prior to you actually donating blood. But like I said, it's a deferral, meaning that you cannot donate at this time, but please, by all means, you can return to the facility subsequently.
Please address this issue about, you know, when you donate, you go there with a can of milk or two or three, to drink the Dr. Timileyin. What's the situation on that? Is that necessary though?
So it's a very interesting dynamic. I like to call it the malt and milk mentality. And it's something that is quite pervasive, meaning that we constantly talk about it, think about it, that once the individual does milk and you know that they are good and a lot of those kind of things. But the most important thing actually is to hydrate, which means that the best thing to do after you had, you know, given blood is to actually drink a lot of water.
They can give you water from the hospital.
definitely. But the onus also lies on the individual that afterwards you rehydrate as much as you can. It goes a long way to actually help.
And some of the challenges that I've also heard in terms of the conversation we're having is the fact that people get upset that the blood that they donated freely is being sold. That discourages a lot of people.
And I totally understand that. And quite interestingly, it's something that also comes up routinely in conversations about blood donation, because an individual is thinking that I did not sell this blood. I pretty much walked in, donated voluntarily. What then is the fee attached to the blood? So in order to put things in the best way that's possible, it's to understand that the fee being paid is not for the blood in itself.
Okay.
It's for a number of things. Number one, to actually store the blood would cost something, meaning that you have collected blood from the person and you have to store the blood. That storage would cost a fee. That's number one. Number two is to also understand that the screening of the blood, because it's very important, you cannot just take blood from an individual and then just transfuse it into another person. That blood has to be screened. It has to be screened for HIV, hepatitis, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, syphilis, and all of that screening with the ELISA technology would cost an amount. So usually the perspective to have is that the blood is not being sold in itself, that it's the blood you donated that is then, you know, being sold directly. But the fee that comes with it is for the manpower, for the screening, and for the storage. All of that is factored into how much it is.
You know, I'm going to ask Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown is my colleague here. Whether he has donated blood before. Have you donated blood before?
No, I've not. Never.
Oh, okay. I have. Have you thought of it before?
I have, but I have.
You see, when people start scratching their neck before they talk.
No, because like it was an initiative when I was in high school, and you know they were trying to sensitize us about it and all of that. And but I have a thing about needles. I don't go near needles if I don't have to. So yeah.
I'm going to take a few calls and let Dr. Timileyin just attend to a few calls before our first break this hour. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71900. World Blood Donor Day is today. You got an experience about blood donation, transfusion. Do talk to us very quickly and please make it brief as possible. Good morning to you. Good morning. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Hello, good morning.
We can hear you, sir.
Okay. I'm a blood donor.
Okay.
My name is Abimbola. Hello?
You're a champion.
Yes, and I've been doing this since I'm a teenager.
Oh, wow.
So
why have you decided to become a blood donor?
Yes, I have a father, and he has a friend that is a medical lab scientist. And since then, I have the interest in donating. The last time I donated blood was last October, and I did it in 6 weeks interval. I went to donate blood freely.
Okay.
I have a card. I'm a blood donor at somewhere in Ikorodu.
Oh,
but
fantastic.
What I want to say is that
yes,
there are a lot of misconceptions about the. You mentioned a guy that said that he wanted to donate blood.
Yes,
I think that is a wrong information.
Okay.
The reason why I said it's a wrong information, maybe he has a relative that he said that
needed
blood.
Okay.
And maybe at that point in time, just like the doctor has said that this blood donation
for
is
storage.
Not about there has to be storage, there has to be screening,
I get your point.
across.
I get your point. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your thought. I do get your point, but I need to head out now to take this short break. When we return, we'll talk some more with Dr. Timmy Lane. Stay here, Lagos. We'll be right back.
Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, we're back, 8:35 and counting is the time from our studios here. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Dr. Timmy Lane from Total Health Trust is still here with us this morning. It's not Thursday, I know, but it's significant that we discuss our topic today. That is World Blood Donor Day. All the champions. The blood donors are champions. They are lifesavers. So I'm going to give them today. Will not pass them over just like that because they have saved lives. You may not see them in cape, but they're superheroes. So we celebrate you, all of you, blood donors. We love you for it. And to our first caller, hey, thank you, sir, for the good work that you do with the gift of life. We appreciate you for that. Dr. Timmy Lane, thank you again for coming through today. I know that today is a busy day for you, and we'll talk about that much later on. But let's talk about I'll come to the telephone. I can see your calls. Yeah, I can see them. But I'll come and hear from you now. Let's talk about benefits of blood donation. Are there benefits at all?
Thank you so much for asking. And it's also important that we know that when donating blood, 1 pint can save as many as 3 lives. Eh? 1 pint of blood can actually save as many as 3 lives. And as interesting as that might sound, it's important that we know the far-reaching effects of some of the simple actions that we take. And so once again, I'd like to say a huge thank you that, you know, we're having this conversation, because it's important that everybody knows that this isn't just something for a selected few. Everybody can participate, can engage and actually be a part of this. So if we're referring to the benefits, I think, first of all, knowing that you're saving lives is important. Knowing the fact that you are saving a pregnant mother from dying, because one of the leading causes of death for pregnant women is something called postpartum hemorrhage, meaning that right after the woman has put to bed, she begins to bleed a whole lot, and then she needs blood. And if we are able to bridge that gap between the demand and supply of blood by donating blood, that helps a great deal. So there is that to consider. There's the fact that individuals who perhaps suffered an accident or even individuals who have chronic disorders such as sickle cell or hemophilia, all of these individuals require blood. So that's one thing to know, is that donating blood in itself actually saves lives. The second thing to just quickly mention as well is the fact that donating blood as well is, and this might be interesting, but I'm going to try to connect the dots.
Okay.
It's also something that helps an individual's mental health.
Eh?
It's something that helps an individual's mental health. And I'll quickly explain in less than 60 seconds.
Okay.
So when we talk mental health, one of the integral parts of our mental health, which is that individual state of well-being, is that individual's ability to also make meaningful contributions to their community. And one of the best ways to do that is to actually donate blood. And so statistically speaking, it's been shown that individuals who donate blood are less likely to suffer from depression. So it's something that tremendously helps our mental health as well. And you could even sense the excitement in the gentleman that called earlier. It's something to be excited about, to be proud of, that I'm part of something that works. I'm doing something to affect my community. I'm doing something to affect people positively. And so that is a huge positive in terms of the benefits. I think the third thing to also just quickly add is that when you also donate blood frequently, you have a donor card.
Okay.
Now, in the event that you need blood, or that your relative or someone connected to you needs blood, once that card is tendered, it's honored. Because what has happened is, over time, we have created a distortion in the system wherein a lot of the blood donations are no longer voluntary. They are replacement donors or paid donors, which are the two things we need to do away with and ditch and actually face the voluntary blood donations. But what has happened over time is that because of the inadequacy, a lot of individuals have started creating this system wherein you need blood, they ask you to bring someone, which is a replacement donor, or some individuals go as far as having to pay people to donate blood, which is responsible for some of the unsafe blood that is being collected and all of those kind of things. But if you donate blood frequently, there's a card that allows for you to actually get blood should you need it, or should your relative actually need it as well.
Is it also true, because I've also heard that regular blood donors are somewhat is it protected? Should I use the word protected from some minor illnesses? I don't know how true that is. Please, you are the expert here.
All right. So the good thing as well about donating blood from a much more detailed scientific approach is, number one, it also helps in terms of regulating the iron levels of the individual. That's one. Number two, it also sensitizes the blood marrow. So the blood marrow gets sensitized about the need to sort of rejuvenate and then produce more blood and all of those kind
of things. The blood marrow is in the body.
Yes, exactly. So the individual's blood marrow is sensitized, which actually helps the individual as well in the long run. So when thinking blood donation as well, it's a win-win situation. You are able to save lives and you also, you're better off for it as well.
How much pints can an individual donate at a time?
great question, actually, because it's important that individuals who are thinking about donating blood right now understand that, it's not that once you donate blood, you pass out afterwards. on the average, as individuals, we have about 10 pints of blood. And when you donate blood, it's just 1 pint.
Okay.
So it's pretty much like a tenth of the blood that is being donated. So at a time, you will donate a pint of blood.
Are there possible side effects? I mean, what are the likely side effects? If there are any, then what should that mean, possibly?
The important thing is that to mitigate against some of all of this, an individual prior to being screened is walked through a proper process to ensure that if you are ineligible in that sense, say, for example, your hemoglobin level, like I referenced earlier, is low, you most likely wouldn't be able to donate blood at that time. Because if that was not the case, if an individual who has a subpar hemoglobin level should donate blood, it's possible that they begin to feel dizzy, lightheaded, and things along that line. But a lot of the process prior to you donating is to ensure that some
will
of
prevent those things
exactly from happening.
Basically, let's go back to the telephone. All our lines are blinking. Let's jump on this one and hear from this caller. Good morning to you. Morning, caller. Good morning. Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning. I think what age will it be like very late for you to, or not advisable for you to donate blood?
Okay.
And then I think what also deter people from donating, you know, like it's this superstitious belief that someone will use your blood for something.
Yeah.
And then another thing, I think we should have like a notice. Even private and general hospitals where free donors are coming to donate to indicate that these people are, you know, the blood, there's a free donation of blood there, because the fear of private hospitals selling the donated blood is also there, because I've talked to some people on it.
Right.
So these are issues to how to sensitize people that blood taking is not using for anything ritual, and then that this hospital is also available to give the blood freely to the people that really need the blood.
Right.
Good morning.
Morning to you too. Thank you for the contribution. Let's attempt her question. What age?
All right. So I'll be very brief because I had also referenced it earlier. Yeah. But thank you so much for asking. So as we mentioned earlier, it's between the ages of 18 and 65. 18 to 60 for first-time donors.
Okay.
But subsequently, it can go as far as 65. So the age to consider when donating blood is 18 to 65 years.
Okay.
And to just quickly also add, I totally agree that there's a lot more that we can do in terms of improving the sensitization. But it's important that individuals know, first of all, that you can walk into a tertiary facility or a secondary facility, meaning general hospitals, to actually donate blood. And that's something that is constantly and, you know, ongoing. So it's not just something limited to the World Blood Donor Day, but you can literally walk into these facilities and ask that you want to donate blood. And it's something, like I said, that
and they don't collect money.
And they do not collect money.
Okay.
They do not. It's important that we stress that and we emphasize it, that it's free. You can walk in voluntarily and actually donate blood.
Indeed. Let's jump on another call. Nigeria Info. Good morning to you. Okay, my line is acting up. Let's take this one. Morning to you. Good morning. Yeah, I knew it was acting up. Let's take another one quickly. Good morning to you. Morning to you. Oh, I'm so sorry. Bad connection, all right? Do try and call me back. Do try. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. That's gone as well. Let's take this quickly. Good morning to you. Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, please.
Please, I'm out of Nigeria.
Yes, you're live on the radio.
Okay, yeah, Thank you for this wonderful topic that you just brought up.
Thank you.
I'm a good donor. I'm a donor from 2017 up to date.
Wow.
And I've filled nothing less than 3 cards. But wow. My fourth card, why I stopped donating from the second part is a cousin of mine needed blood at the point of death. I gave them all my cards that I'm a donor and I need them to give her blood. But they said because we are not treated by blood, she cannot be given blood, that I should go and buy blood for her.
Oh.
After presenting those 3 cards that they are full, front and back. And as I said, since then, I will not donate.
Oh.
That is why when the speaker talked about when you have a card, you are privileged to be given blood for anybody you are related to. Well, that day, it pissed me off. And that was not the first option. The second one, too. My brother, my distant cousin, the same thing with them. Oh. I say, I don't think this is how it works. If I can give my blood free of charge, and at the end of the day, they need it, they will not see, tell me to go and see, use my money, 12,000, 13,000, 15,000, to go and buy blood for the same person. I don't believe it.
How is the first relative of yours? How did the person survive?
Yes, he survived because I ended up buying blood for 30,000 naira.
I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
My 3 months does not pass me without donating.
Wow. 3 cards filled. Oh. I'm really sorry. Dr. Timilani, let me take Madam Ife's call before... Okay, Madam Ife is gone. You heard that caller.
I did.
That can be quite discouraging.
I did. And thankfully, and I must say thank you to you again for this forum and the platform for us to have this conversation, is that... these processes need to be improved upon. And the only way to do that is to take some of this feedback. And all of this has to be shaped by policies.
Yeah.
Now, it's possible that the existing policy speaks to the person being able to give to their first degree relative. So it means that you have to be directly related. And it's not a deliberate attempt to exclude some people. It's just to ensure that you have a system that sort of works and safeguards, you know, individuals abusing or leveraging on the system. But if we have this sort of conversations, get this sort of feedback, that process can be improved upon. The policies can actually be better serving for the individuals who are consistently donating. But it is a sad one, but it's a huge feedback that can be taken and should be taken to improve upon what we're doing in terms of a policy approach to what exactly it is that is done from a blood donor and recipient standpoint.
Right. That's quite painful. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
This is Madam Ife. I couldn't wait for you.
Thank you
good
for
morning,
calling.
Good morning, doctor.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
You see, this blood issue, 10 years ago, I had a major operation of fibroid. Before then, they asked me, who do I have people that can donate blood? I said, I have 3 daughters. 2 of them are the same blood group with me. Donate it. They can donate for me. I took them down and they collected blood, like a pint or so. I know that I have blood because I'm kind of a Calabar woman. I eat a lot of vegetable. So the nurse said, I still must pay for 2 other pints of blood. And I said, okay, take the money. I think it was 13,000. I paid 26,000. Then they gave me 1. I said, bring it. Give me 1. I went for the operation and came back. What I'm trying to say, this blood, they are donated free. Why are they selling it such an exorbitant price? 10 years ago, it was 13,000.
Yeah.
Only God knows how much it is. Somebody donate. I come to a facility, donate blood. This one called donate blood. They make like maybe 20 pints of blood. And if you want to, give to somebody else, you'll be paying for it. Even if they want to take some, the token should be on top of that blood. Not, you know, somebody looking for 15,000, 30,000 to go and look for blood.
Madam Ife, thank you for sharing that. We spoke about the cost earlier. Do you think that should be reviewed as well? I don't know how much it is now. I don't know how much O positive is now, let alone O neg. I don't know. But I know O neg will be more expensive than O positive. But do you think the price should be reviewed?
Absolutely. But let me also create a caveat. And because I think the most important thing is people understanding what the cost is for. And it's absolutely important that we do that, because the misconception out there is you take blood from someone and an individual has to pay for the blood. Like I mentioned earlier, let me also just reemphasize is that the fee being paid is not directly for the blood in itself. It's for screening and storage. And the screening is very important because the policy that I referenced earlier as to blood donation and all of that, that policy also speaks to transfusion and what needs to be done prior to that. It means that you want to ensure that you aren't just collecting blood, but that it's safe. It's not, it wouldn't create another problem upon receiving it. And so the individual's blood that is being received has to be properly screened. And let me emphasize what that screening is or what it entails, is that some of the things being screened for have what is called a window period.
Okay.
So it means if you use the rapid test kit for them, so you can do like an HIV rapid test kit, and if you try to do that, which will automatically crash the price that you pay for the blood, which is for the screening, you can miss out on some of the infections because some of these things have a window period, meaning that if you use a rapid test kit, it wouldn't show up. Now, the best way to screen is to use something called the ELISA technology, which will pick up on some of those viruses even in the window period. Now, unfortunately, that technology costs money, which ultimately reflects in the cost of the blood. So it's not a direct, oh, I collect blood and then I'm paying for the blood. It's we need to understand that it's the screening. Even after you're done the screening, there's also what is called the cross-matching.
Right.
Meaning that you can screen the blood, but you also need to cross-match it, making sure that the individual will not have a transfusion reaction after you have screened the blood. So all of that is built into the cost that we see. And it's something that, you know, we need to also do because it's not enough that blood is available. It has to be safe as well.
It has to be safe. And that's very, very important. But people are asking, where can they go and donate blood, Dr. Timilayin?
Really great question, actually, because there has to be a call to action. That is, everyone who is listening, everyone who is considering donating blood should know that, oh, I can walk into a facility. First of all, you can walk into tertiary facilities, which means teaching hospitals. Every teaching hospital has the capability to actually collect blood and store it and do all of the processes. So you can walk into a tertiary facility. Thankfully, in Lagos State, there is what is called the Lagos State Blood Transfusion Service, which is driven, and it's such a huge initiative and something that is very positive. And the Lagos State system allows you to walk into any of the general hospitals. And to just quickly plug into the conversation that we're also having off air earlier is the fact that there's also a blood donor drive today that we're partnering with. So currently, Total Health Trust, in partnership with Tangerine Africa, we currently are working to have a blood drive today at 10 a.m. at the General Hospital at Marina. And it's something that everyone can actually walk into and have that particular drive done and be a part of what it is that we're doing to also become a hero.
Fantastic. Dr. Oluwatimileyin Ogunkoya, Total Health Trust, thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire today. Always a pleasure. And I hope to have you more on Health Thursday here on Nigeria Info. Thank you again for coming through.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
And I wish you best of luck on your drive today. It's happening at Marina.
Yes, the General Hospital.
General Hospital Marina. Okay. Fantastic.
Opposite Freedom Park. So it's something very easy to locate. And so
Can people come there to come and donate blood?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Good. The drive starts at 10 a.m. today. So 10. If you could make your way there, that would be fantastic.
Fantastic. I love things like that. Lagos, that's our show. Thank you for being a part of it. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Daily Digest with Jimidisu is next. I'll be back on the radio tomorrow at 5 a.m. You can follow me on Instagram at Sheriff Quadri, on Twitter at Sheriff Quadri. Be safe out there.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.